Well, it looks like Korean food is the latest it cuisine. Those funky, spicy, garlicky flavors have led to booming Koreatowns all over the country. These neighborhoods are now the after-work destinations for chefs and food lovers of all stripes. Well, our contributor, New York Times columnist Melissa Clark, got to walk through the basics behind Korean cooking and culture with the authors of Koreatown, a cookbook, Dookie Hong and Matt Rodbard.
Dookie and Matt, welcome.
Hey, Melissa. Thanks for having us.
Hey, Melissa. So glad to be here.
You guys did a lot of running around the country, eating in different Koreatowns for this book. Matt, what was your favorite Koreatown that you experienced?
You're going to ask me to pick a favorite. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, no, what were some of your favorites?
Okay, thank you for stepping back. No, honestly, Los Angeles to me is the heart of Korean food and culture in America. As a journalist, I am blown away by when I go there because I go to these restaurants that specialize in single topic dishes. So there's a restaurant that does mandu, which is Korean dumplings. Walk down the street and there's a restaurant that does solentang, which is bone broth. Walk down the street and you do a restaurant that does gamjatang. You've got all these great restaurants doing these single dishes so phenomenally well. To me, that it's almost like it's an expert level course in Korean food when you go to Los Angeles.
And Dookie, do you agree or do you have a different idea?
Well, first off, I think Maddie is officially banned from New York City's Koreatown.
And, oh, no.
And, you know, him being a New Yorker and saying that L.A. Koreatown is better is a little disturbing to me. I do agree with him in the fact that the food in L.A. is it's unmatched. It really is the best. We even go as far as to say that it's better than some food in Seoul.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, for me being a New Yorker, for me, there's nothing that can kind of match the energy and the culture and the people of just kind of walking on 32nd Street, seeing all the signs in Korean and just really feeling that energy on a Friday night, Saturday night. We've packed a lot of culture, energy, and a lot of just stories on that one block.
What are some of the things that people should know to get the best out of going to a Korean restaurant, say for a novice or for someone who's eaten in a few but really doesn't know a lot about Korean food?
Well, I think definitely order some soups and stews.
Okay.
It is like essential to understanding Korean food. Order a tenjeon or kimchi jjigae. Maybe go with a lighter clam jjigae-tang. Maybe, you know, there's lots of different soups and stews that are lesser known, but they're so delicious.
Yeah, I don't think people associate Korean food with soups and stews. And I know that you guys write in the book that, in fact, Koreans are the soup masters of Asia. Dookie, do you want to speak about that a little bit?
Absolutely. I think, you know, we are known for kind of Korean barbecue, the bibimbap, the stone bowl, but people forget that we're a peninsula. You know, we eat a lot of seafood. Also, we're avid noodle lovers and avid soup lovers.
You should definitely look beyond the grill. That's the one thing mm-hmm. we want people to take away from Koreatown.
Are there any dishes that insiders order that you have to be in the know to get?
I think kolbijim is one that really doesn't roll off the tongue like bulgogi, but kolbijim is a braised short rib dish.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that fiery, funky kimchi broth dish. It's more of a mild, it's sweet, it's sweetened with orchard fruits and dates and soy and mirin and lots of garlic.
Ooh,
and
that sounds great.
It's beautiful. And in our recipe, we actually do it in a crock pot, which is very much Americana.
Mm-hmm.
The crock pot was invented in Chicago in the 50s. So we really wanted to merge both Korean food culture and American food culture with that dish. But you can get it in restaurants, and it's just one of our favorites.
You know, let's talk a little bit about cooking Korean food at home. So what are some of the master sauces and condiments that people should know about and should have in their pantry?
Well, so Korean food is actually very simple. It's not as complex as many people think. Our basic flavor and our foundation of cooking, or our mother sauces, it's called changs in Korean, which are fermented paste, fermented sauces, soybean paste, chili paste, soy sauce. And that really is the foundation of a lot of the dishes that we create. I would say a fermentation and that deep kind of that you don't really know what it is, but that layer of umami that you get. It's only developed through months and months of just fermenting and controlling that fermentation. You know, a lot of people call it, you know, the Korean miso or whatnot, but it's actually very different than miso in that Japanese miso, it's inoculated with Aspergillus oryzae. So you're kind of forcing that process of fermentation.
Uh-huh.
Koreans, we develop naturally, and that's why it takes longer. It takes minimum months to make a proper batch of soybean paste.
Oh, that's interesting. So they're also, it's like a wild fermentation, like almost like a sourdough bread kind of thing. You're just getting the thing from the atmosphere. Now, so those are the pantry staples that people might have to go to a specialty shop to buy, but there are also a lot of Korean pantry staples that you can buy in the supermarket. You know, I know you use a lot of ginger and garlic.
Mm. The jangs can be kind of difficult to find. You have to find a Korean grocery or an Asian grocery, but really, when you look at the larder, it's so common. You're seeing garlic, ginger, scallions, sesame oil, mirin, soy sauce. You're seeing things that you're going to cook with if you're cooking Chinese cuisine, you're cooking Japanese. You know, we wanted to break down, and this is Dookie's skill, is breaking down the cooking into simpler steps using this pared-down larder. And, you know, once the books have been out a few weeks, we've seen photos on Instagram. People have been sharing recipes, and it's coming from all sorts of backgrounds. So it's really cool that people are actually cooking this food and not just reading the book.
Yeah, that's another question I have. So, Dookie, why do you think Korean food right now is becoming very popular among non-Korean chefs? I mean, it's almost like it's becoming the next it cuisine.
For me, even just on a culinary sense, talking to chefs, we realized, Maddie and I going traveling and talking to and meeting all these chefs, we realized this is the food that they've been eating for a long time. They've have prior experiences and they love Koreatown. This is where they go eat after service. And they're incorporating it a lot, even into their own menus.
Yeah, and it's like a chef's nature to explore. You know, chefs want to explore the next cuisine. And as Dookie was saying, these chefs, we feature recipes from Sean Brock, Stuart Brioza, Eric Repaire. They're riffing on the flavors of Koreatown. They're taking them back to their kitchens. And we're seeing this new generation of Korean and non-Korean chefs that are cooking beyond the taco with kimchi on top. You know, it's not fusion cuisine. It's really traditional flavors.
Right, but they're taking it into their non-Korean kitchens. And doing their thing. Thank you guys so much for talking with me today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Melissa.
Dookie Hong and Matt Rodbard are the authors of Koreatown, a cookbook. Melissa Clark is a food columnist for the New York Times. Dookie and Matt left us with an unusual recipe for short ribs braised with stone fruit. It's called Crockpot Kalbi Jim, and you can find it at splendidtable.org.